One of the questions that I get asked the most, probably, at least over the last several years, by Christian folk, is this, or something along these lines. How can I be sure, finish it, that I'm saved? That's right. How can I be sure? How can I be positive and know that I'm saved? And Scripture is, there is an abundance of passages that talk to us about the assurance of salvation. And I can't go into all of those tonight. I want to start, though, with right out of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We're going to be, I've got several different passages, so just kind of bear with me here. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. What saves you? It is by grace you've been saved, through faith. And this is not even of yourself. It's not even your faith, it's God's faith that He's put into you that you get to exercise. And it's not the work that you do, it's the work that He did. You see, you can't save yourself. You have to trust in the one who does the saving. In Luke chapter 23, Jesus is on the cross. And one of the criminals next to Him says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He was on death's doorstep, this criminal was, right? And he didn't ask to be rescued from the cross. He didn't say, "Jesus, if you're really, get us out of here. Come on, let's go get down here and let's go drink some wine or let's go whatever and go fishing or something." He said, "No, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And why did he say that, I wonder? Why did he ask for that and not to be taken off the cross? I think because he knew that his deepest need was salvation. Deepest need was salvation from sin and an assurance of eternal life. He believed in Jesus. He believed in Jesus. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 tells us to believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. So how do you know? How do you know you're going to heaven? How can you be certain? How can you get rid of the doubt? Has anybody ever doubted from any time in their lives? Am I really saved? Yeah. When I think of times like this morning, Jonathan baptized his son James at a very early age. One of the things that Jonathan and Leanne are going to have to continue to do is to remind him and assure him of his salvation and teach him where he can find that assurance on his own. Because there may come a time and day when he may not even remember this event. But he needs to be assured and convinced of his salvation. Assurance of salvation is not by our works. It's not because we earn anything. It's not by our feelings. Did you know that your feelings can lie to you? And they can also come and go. Salvation does not come and go. Salvation is here to stay. The Bible says we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So what is your assurance of salvation? It's the promise of God's Word all throughout Scripture, particularly in the New Testament. Talks about the assurance of salvation. It's the promise of God's Word. And if God's Word says it, then that settles it. Like the old saying, it says, you know, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. It's mixed up. Because the truth is, God said it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. You can rest in the promise of God's Word. Jesus replied to that criminal hanging on the cross. He said, I assure you today, you will be with me in paradise. We find that in Luke chapter 23, verse 43. You see, in your assurance of salvation is the same today. It's God's promise that you will be in heaven with Him one day if you believe in faith, just like we read in Ephesians chapter 2. So I want to just kind of go through a few of these reasons. I've written down, I don't know, 7 or 8 different reasons why people sometimes doubt their salvation. Okay, now this is not an exhaustive list, and it may cover some of the reasons why you may have doubted your salvation, and you may have one that's not on my list, and that's okay. First reason I wrote down is because we've been told over and over that we're just not good enough, and we're not worthy enough. We can't do good enough to be saved. A lot of times that comes from pulpits, and there's never, it's always a word of condemnation and never a word of assurance and of God's love. Okay? And of course, you can go to the other end of the spectrum and just speak on God's love and never talk about the condemnation of sin. And there's got to be, there needs to be a mix, because the Scripture is a mix. Another reason is, well, I'm just too bad to be saved. I've been too sinful. I've done some things. If you only knew what I had done, preacher, you would understand and know that I just don't think I can be saved. And the problem is that when somebody falls into that mode, they have a difficulty accepting the grace, the forgiveness that's been extended to them. Another reason is that people don't accurately comprehend the gospel. They think that their salvation is dependent upon them. I've got to do this. I've got to pay my tithes. I've got to do my works. I've got to serve here, and I've got to do these things. And if I don't, some believe that God forgave only those sins prior to conversion. That when I accepted Jesus Christ, everything up to that point was forgiven. Now after that, I've got to keep coming back, and which we do. But it's they feel like that their salvation is dependent upon, if they die with unconfessed sin, then they're doomed because they haven't confessed it up. And they forget that Jesus died for all sins, past, present, and future. Another reason some people doubt their salvation is they can't remember the exact moment of their salvation. Like I mentioned, you know, that I can remember my salvation experience at age, I can't even remember the exact date or when it was. I knew it was at RA camp. I was 8 or 9 or maybe even 10. I don't think it was 10. But I can't remember exactly what took place, except that I was moved by the Spirit during this camp. And we were at the bonfire one night, and I just knew that I needed Jesus Christ. And so I went up and I got to him to the side and prayed with me, and I received Jesus Christ. And then got back the next Sunday. Before they started playing the hymn of invitation, I was down there waiting on the preacher. I knew that I had been saved, and I wanted everybody else to know that. But some people feel that, well, you know, I didn't really have this great, moving, this dramatic, overwhelming experience, and so is my salvation for real or not? Some people feel that due to the strong pull of the fleshly desires, that they feel that, how can I be a new creation? How can I be a saved person if I still want to do all these things? And you can ask Paul about that. What did Paul say? My paraphrase here, he says, man, the stuff that I know I want to do, I don't end up doing, and what I know I should not do, that's what I end up doing. That's what I want to do. And I don't want to do it, but I do it anyway. I struggle with that. Was Paul saved? Okay. There's some assurance there. Some people fail to see God's hand in their trials and miss the strongest proof of salvation, which is the testing of our faith. Did you know that that is a proof of your salvation also? when your faith is tested and you remain faithful and God remains faithful, God will always remain faithful. If there's ever a break in the faith, it's not God's faith. It's your expression of the faith that God has given you. And God tests that faith to prove of His mighty love for us. Some people, they doubt their salvation because they don't know and they don't obey the Word of God. Thus, they fail to walk in the Spirit. And what is one of the Spirit's ministry to us? One of the Spirit's ministry to us is to assure us of salvation. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit, right? So His job is to assure us of salvation. But if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're lacking that assurance that the Spirit provides. And then sometimes people are willfully sinful. It's not like Paul saying, man, I don't want to do that, but I end up doing it anyway, and I hate it. And some people will say, I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway because I like it. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But someone that walks in the fleshly desires will not know the blessing of spiritual fruit or the joy of assurance. Because, again, just like the last one I made comment, they're not walking with the Spirit. They're choosing to walk a different route. Now, those are just a few of the reasons why we might doubt our salvation there. And there are others. There are many others. And you may have your own. I just want to encourage you that your salvation is never meant to be doubted by the Lord. It's meant to be proved. It's meant to be substantiated by the Lord. And how do you do that apart from Him? You don't. And so you've got to be in communion with Him. You've got to be in the Word of God. The Word of God will show you each and every day and give you a foundation and assurance of your salvation. Salvation does not depend on us. It depends on the work that Jesus Christ did at the cross. Amen? And if you will rely on that day in and day out, He will continue to assure you and prove Himself to you that He's good enough to save you. Even you. Even me. The key to knowing, to be assured of your salvation is obedience. Did you know that? That's the key. Obedience is the key. It's the proof. And the reward of obedience is assurance. If you will obey and be obedient to the Lord, He will continue to reassure you, you're mine. You're mine. I've got you in the palm of my hand. You're engraved on the palm of my hand. I've got you in my grasp, and nothing can take you out of my hand. The Scripture tells us, how do you know you can trust the Bible and God's promises? How do you know you can trust God's Word? Has He not proven it time and time and time again? And if you read it, you find that the Bible proves itself, but you can also certainly understand that if you've been walking by faith and walking in the Spirit, just how God has moved in your life and through those trials and through those circumstances will be proof enough to give you confidence to say, yes, the Lord is with me. The Lord is on my side. He is a mighty warrior, and He does fight for me. And if He can do all those things, He can secure my eternity. Some people will try to add stuff. Well, I've got to trust in Jesus Christ for my salvation, and anything else that follows that "and" is wrong. Not that it's bad. Okay? I've got to trust in Jesus Christ and be obedient to tithe regularly. Well, should we tithe regularly? Yes, we should. Is our salvation dependent upon our tithing? No, it's dependent only on Jesus Christ. I need to Trust in Jesus Christ and serve. Should we serve? Is our salvation dependent upon our service? No. It's only on Jesus Christ, but we should still serve. You see, don't try to add anything to the work of Jesus Christ. If there was anything else needed, God would have done that too. He did everything that was needed. The last thing I want to ask is, how should you live differently when you have the assurance of your salvation through Jesus Christ? Should an assurance of what Christ has done for you and on your behalf, should it affect the way we live our lives? Should it? How so? Okay. Is there an appropriate feeling of appreciation to what Christ has done for us? Sure, yeah, there should be. Should there be a sense of not that you can repay the debt, but that you should be busy about His work? Should we be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ? Does that earn our salvation? No, but here's the deal. Here's the trick. It's yet another proof of the assurance of your salvation because you're being obedient to the Father. And when you're being obedient, let me tell you, this is the coolest thing. When you are obedient to God, He rewards you with assurance. The more you're obedient, the more you are assured of your salvation. It's awesome how God works that way. He says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And if you will continue to draw near, obey, be obedient, do the things that He's called you to do. I will tell you this. I do not believe that God has called anybody to receive Jesus Christ and then sit on their duff for the rest of their natural life. I believe that if somebody believes that God has saved them from their sins to sit on their duff for the rest of their life, they have never really received Jesus Christ and accepted the forgiveness of their sins, or they would be compelled to do something else. So if you have a compelling to serve Jesus Christ, that is yet another assurance of your salvation. I believe that with all my heart, folks. I believe it because I believe the Scripture teaches it. We don't do for salvation, we do because of salvation. So are you doing? Are we doing? How are we doing? Yeah. A lot of questions. Could be better. Okay. Yeah. If we're honest, we could be better. So let's get there. Let's do that. Let's do that. Because when we, quote, do better, the assurance is just that much stronger for us. And when you're assured of your salvation, you're so convinced, it just compels you to go even farther. Have you ever heard of a rich man going, you know what? I think I've acquired all the wealth I need. I think I'll just stop. I'm going to cash out, bury it in cans in my yard, and I'm not interested in gaining any more wealth. Have you ever heard of anybody like that? No. It's never enough. It's never enough. And there's opportunities to earn more, so why not earn more? Folks, our faith is the same way. And the assurance and the obedience that brings that assurance on is the same way. The more you obey, the more you grow in faith, the more closely you walk with God, the more you crave more. You crave more. Don't cash out. Don't cash out. Reinvest. And how do you reinvest? You reinvest in somebody else sitting across the room. You reinvest in somebody out in the children's center, somebody out in the youth department, somebody in one of the young adult Sunday school classes, the senior adult Sunday school class. You invest in somebody down the street. You invest in somebody across town. You invest in a coworker. You invest in your children. You invest in your spouse. You invest. Because you're compelled to do so. That is a proof of salvation. That is a proof of salvation. I know I did not adequately cover everything that would assure us of salvation tonight. But certainly, whatever I've covered is adequate to assure me of my salvation, if that makes sense. There is more. There's more. There's more. And I would encourage you to dig in and find that for yourselves too. But you're not going to get more saved. You're not going to get more saved. Okay? But you can become more and more confident of your salvation. And it's through obedience. It's always through obedience. God did the work. Jesus Christ did the work on your behalf. You have to trust in that. Trust in that. Believe in that. And then move on from that into what God has for you and for me. Amen. Folks, I really am excited about this new year. For one thing, I'm excited for another 4.5 weeks when I can get this collar off. I'm really excited about that. I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to move on. I'm going to have a new confidence in my neck. Okay? It's kind of like what we talked about, our faith building. I'm assured that my problems are going to be gone and all that. But I'm really excited about the future of Dolan Baptist Church. I'm excited. Rebecca and I, we talk a lot. She does most of the talking here, yes, but and we talk about church a lot. It's just it's so much a part of our lives. You might expect that because I'm the pastor and she's the pastor's wife that we have church conversations at home. But we were talking, as a matter of fact, just on the way here, that we've lived in, gosh, how many houses? I think six or seven or eight houses. This year, it's coming up. Matter of fact, in May, we will have lived here in this parsonage house the longest of any house we've lived in so far. Yeah, that's good. We lived in two different houses over in Tomball. And anyway, but I'm excited about what God's going to do here. Okay. We have experienced, quite honestly, we've experienced a kind of a reduction in our regular attendance. Okay, some of that may just be due to today, probably with some from weather. I know some other things have happened, and some people have moved on and whatnot. But folks, I think God wants this house to be full. Who's going to call the people to come fill the chairs? We've all got to be doing that. We've got to be doing that. Because there's people that need to know. There are people that need to know. And I've tried to not be selfish. You know, if I want people here at Dolan Baptist Church. I do, because I think we have a great place. I think our music is fantastic, and I think we have great worship, and I think we have great loving people, And I think this is a good place to be. I really do. But if they don't want to be here, as long as they're in a church somewhere, that's okay. I'm okay with that too. But there are a lot of folks that are not anywhere. So why not here? I'm excited about this new year. I'm excited about it. We've got some things coming up. I'm really excited at the end of the month. I can't even think of her first name. Margaret Nicole. Keep wanting to call her Nicole. But Dr. Margaret Nicole is going to be here with her violin, and her story is just amazing. Her whole family, the men in her family who were all pastors, were martyred for their faith. And her story of escaping the I'm excited to hear that. It's not a pretty story. But to see God's hand and moving in that, I'm excited about that. We need to fill the house up because people need to hear that message. People need to hear that. There are other things. We're going to plan a Super Bowl party, and I would love to have just flocks of people from the area just come and watch the football game, have a little devotion at halftime, and just have fun and fellowship. Just show them the love of Jesus Christ. You don't have to preach to somebody every time to show them the love of Christ. You can just be friendly. And we're going to have opportunities to do that too. And so I am excited, and I hope you're excited. I feel compelled to continue to see Dolan Baptist Church grow in its effectiveness of this community. And I hope you're along the ride with me. Thank you for being here tonight. Be safe going home. Go home, get warm, stay warm. And let's get ready for church next week. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. I thank you, Father, for these folks that are here tonight. Father, they come on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Father, it's easy to say that they're the faithful ones. And they are faithful to be here. Lord, there are others that for different reasons aren't able to come on these evenings. And I understand that. Doesn't mean they're less faithful. So, Father, I pray that you would, those who are being faithful to you, that you would honor. That you would continue to reassure them of their salvation and compel them to be about your business. Compel us to be about our business, to be about your business, Lord. Not because we need to earn our salvation, but because you've given it to us so freely. We're forever indebted to you, Father. Help us to live a life that honors you. In Jesus' name.